Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, please. The book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 3. I have a thought on my heart, and I pray that it'll be a blessing. It's not going to be, I don't think, entirely delivered today. It's going to take several, I believe, messages to deliver the thought that God has on my heart. He's building it in my heart and in my mind, and I believe it's something that will help us at this time in our church. Even when Brother Brian was doing Sunday school, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said something about help. I came in last night meditating on the message and looked at the sign, and there's something about help on the sign. And for the last few days, I've had this thought on my heart: help is on the way. Now, when you say that, sometimes you're just looking at the word help and just thinking, apart from God, that you can get help. But can I tell you, the help I'm talking about is not apart from God. The Word of God said He is a very present help. He is a very present help in a time of need. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Amen. And so this morning, I want to begin preaching in a series of messages entitled, Help is on the Way. I want you to look with me at Genesis chapter number 3 this morning, and we'll try to build the message. And I don't know even if I'll get finished with this morning, this first thought, but we'll just try to mind the Lord and see how that it goes. We're glad each one of you are here. And more than anything, I would pray that no one would take offense to this. But if you do, it's your problem. More than anything, I'm glad he's here. I'm wasting my time here if he's not here. And you're wasting your time here if he's not here. But aren't you glad he's here? Aren't you glad the Bible said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. I tell you, we need his help. We need his help in our churches. We need his help in our homes. We need his help in our country. We need his help in our school system. We need God. We need help. Amen. Aren't you glad? Help is on the way. Let's look here this morning. I want to begin reading in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Can you believe how subtle he is? Can you believe that you could take an argument about destroying the life of an unborn baby, and sometimes a baby that's ready to be born, and how subtly Satan can say that's about a woman's health? Would somebody help me? What about the baby's health? Amen. But anyway, that's just one of the things. He's subtle. You know, he's subtle. I found out the other day that up around Mountain City, there's still a dry county. You know what a dry county is? I ain't heard of one of them in a long time. That's where you can't go to here, there, and everywhere and buy something, you know, liquor or beer or something to drink. Amen. You say, preacher, how did it stay dry so long? I tell you how. A bunch of God's people been fighting so long. Somebody say amen right there. Years ago, I know that I think they even ran over God's people in a neighboring town here. They never did get the votes to do it, but they did it anyway. How subtle the beast of the field is. More, the Bible said, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You say, preacher, why did you mention praying for our schools? Because if you know anything about what's going on in the majority of our school system, what they want to do is cause young people to doubt what God says. And they don't want to quit there. They want to go on and cause young people to deny what God says. Amen. Oh, it's so important that we get grounded, rooted and grounded in Him. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. And then she added something. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Can I just say this morning in the onset of the message? The first part of the message is going to be help is on the way when it comes to the sin problem. Help is on the way when it comes to the sin problem. But can I just say this morning that the Bible said here, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now listen to me carefully. This is simple. God said, you eat of it, you're going to die. And the serpent said, if you eat of it, you're not going to die. Which one of them was right? Help me. Which one of them was right? Which one of them's always right? Don't matter if it's 2015 or 15. Which one of them's always right? Amen? And so what I want you to see is that God was telling the truth in the beginning. And God's still telling the truth today. And that Satan was lying in the beginning. And he's still lying today. He's never changed. He's a liar. He's the father of a lie. Go with me here. The Bible said, for God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. I believe this is another lie that the devil is telling people, not only young people. There's people been married 40 years. And the devil tells them there's something better over on the other side of the fence. The grass is greener. But they forget that under that is a septic tank. Say amen right there. It stinks. Sin has always stunk and it always will stink. Amen. And the Word of God is talking to us here and God's trying to help us. He said, he doesn't know the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be open. So what the devil tried to convince Eve was you're missing out. Man and a woman, married for years. The devil comes along, tries to convince one of them that they're missing out. Young people, brought up in the house of God. And the devil comes along and tries to convince them that they're missing out. They're missing something. There's even men in the ministry that the devil has come along and tried to convince them there's something better. I'll tell you something right now. There ain't nothing in this world no better than serving Jesus. Ain't nothing in this world no better than knowing Jesus. Ain't nothing in this world no better. You say, preacher, why don't you have an English course? I will after a while, but right now I'm just going to preach. Ain't nothing in this world no better than walking with Jesus and serving Him and knowing that you're in His will. The Bible said here, we see the mess, sin. The Lord God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Here's Adam and Eve, you know the story, they're naked, they're both naked, they're in the garden. And I just need to say this morning, that when they disobeyed God, when they ate of the fruit of the tree, we know that they did know instantly good and evil. One of the first things they recognized is that they were naked. And I believe one of the first things that began to happen, is still happening today, is what God preserved for marriage between a man and a woman. Let me say that again. What God preserved for marriage between a man and a woman has been perverted over and over and over again. And they knew that they had messed up. I can only imagine. Let's read. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she was believing the devil, wasn't she? She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave unto her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I just want to say this. Every time mankind finds out he's in trouble, he's always trying to produce his own solution. He's always trying to help himself. Amen. So it seems like the logical thing to do is, if you're naked, is put you something together and cover up your nakedness. But the Word of God is going to teach us something this morning about help that comes from God. And the Bible said, and they heard the voice of the Lord in verse number 8, the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Can you imagine? Could you imagine just overnight, so to speak, instantly, so to speak, when they believed the lie, when they acted on that, could you imagine? Could you imagine what must have went on in their heart? There's a problem now with each other. We're naked. There's a problem now with their Lord, where instead of running to Him, we're running from Him. We're hiding from Him. Instead of walking with Him and talking with Him and fellowshipping with Him, we're trying to get away from Him. You say, preacher, why is that? One little word, sin. Sin. Help is on the way when it comes to the sin problem. You say, preacher, I don't see any help. Well, let me get to it here in just a moment. And he said, I heard thy voice. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? I think I need to say this. God didn't ask Adam this question so God would know Adam where Adam was. God asked Adam this question so Adam would know where Adam was. Let me say this. God knows where every one of us are. And oh, happy day. Amen. When He speaks to your heart and you understand where you are in His light and in His presence. And He said, I heard the voice. I heard thy voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Let me just say this to you. I just now picked up on something. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. I never had picked up on this many times as I read it. He had his fig leaves on, but as far as God was concerned, he still knew he was naked. How about that? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, them fig leaves have never covered up nakedness. Amen. Our religion has never covered up nakedness. Our good deeds have never covered up nakedness. Turning over a new leaf has never covered up our nakedness. But help is on the way. I'm going to show you right here in the chapter. The Bible said, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree wherefore or whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. So the man is going to blame someone else. Now, isn't that something? We still practice that pretty good today, don't we? When there's a problem, amen, we always want to blame someone else. And so the man is going to blame the woman. And watch what the Bible said. And the Lord God said unto the woman. So now, God had turned to Eve. What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, let me blame somebody else. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now I'm about to get to the good part this morning. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Listen, there's going to be a curse pronounced not only on the serpent, but there's going to be a curse pronounced upon the sinner. The woman is going to bear a curse. The man is going to bear a curse. There's going to be a curse pronounced upon the creation. There's going to be thorns. There's going to be thistles. The man is going to earn by a living by the sweat of his brow. The woman is going to be in much travail in childbirth. And the Word of God said, you're cursed above all the cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I guess the 60s and 70s tried to change that, but I don't think they did a good job. God's way is still the best way. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Father in heaven, I ask you today to help us for a few minutes here to glean truth, our Lord, that would help us in the days ahead when we understand, Lord, that mankind has a sin problem. And Lord, help us to be able to believe you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I pray this morning, God, you'd stir our hearts. Lord, don't just stir our mind, but stir our heart that we might be changed, our Father, for thy sake. I pray, Father, that you'll help us today. Lord, that one that's here struggling with sin, I pray, God, the struggle would end today with the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus. In thy name we pray, amen and amen. I tell you, it's a dark day in Genesis chapter number 3. You say, that's way, way, way back there. By the way, I'm not going to say billions and billions and eons. No, about 6,000 years ago. Amen. Help me right there. Amen. I tell you, the rock they need to examine is between some of them's ears. Help me right there. Amen. I believe the word of God. I believe in the literal creation. Just like God said it. Amen. But listen, there's a mess going on. You say, well, preacher, that's way back there. That doesn't have anything to do with us. How about this? In Adam, all die. How about this? Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, brother, you've got little Jason there in your lap this morning. One of these days, that youngin's going to have to die because of Adam's sin. And you say, well, I thought it was because of his daddy's sin. His daddy's sin, his daddy's sin, his daddy's sin. Take it all the way back to Noah. Take it all the way back to Adam. Sin is passed on from generation to generation. But I'm not here this morning to magnify the sin problem. I'm here this morning to magnify the solution to the sin problem. That right in the middle of Genesis 3, when we see the sin problem developed, and when we see the sin problem discovered, and when we see the sin problem that's being brought out and uncovered, and God is showing us how it all happened, right in the middle of it, God stops and says, hey, listen up, help is on the way. You say, preacher, I didn't see it in the text. Well, look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. God is saying in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, I know it's a bad situation. He's saying, I know that the disobedience has caused this bad situation. He's saying, Adam and Eve, and to the serpent as well, he's saying, I know that you think, Mr. Devil, that you've had your way this day. Hallelujah to God. I believe there's a lot of times when Mr. Devil thinks he had his way, but he's forgotten that help is on the way. What do you mean, preacher? In verse number 15, he said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. How many of you are aware, if you study the Bible, this is a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? This is a prophecy concerning Calvary. You say, well, preacher, I'm glad God had a plan after all this happened. Let me tell you something about our God. He didn't have a plan after all this happened. Brother Randy, thank God Almighty, he had a plan before it all happened. The Word of God said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. God, my friend, didn't wait on the problem to happen and then come up with a solution. He had the solution before the problem ever happened. Help was on the way before the sin ever came on the scene. You say, preacher, what do you see in this text? Let me give you three things hurriedly and I want to move on. Number one, the help is in a person. He said between thy seed and her seed. You see, Jesus could not be born of the seed of Adam. He could not be born of the seed of a man. He had to be born of the seed of the woman. You say, preacher, what are you trying to magnify? He was just like the Bible said, born of a virgin. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what's the importance of that? The sinless one was going to be offered for the sinful ones that we might be able to trust him as our Savior. And my friend, understand that though we've messed up royally, help is on the way in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help is in a person. Help is in a promise. He said, help is on the way. What'd he say? He said, I'm going to put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Let me tell you something about Jesus and the devil. The devil hates Jesus. Help me. You say, preacher, I don't understand why Christians in the world are having a problem. I don't understand why they want to cut their heads off. I don't understand why that, my friend, those that are not Christians want to take over our country. Are you paying attention to the news? Amen. Let me tell you why. It's because they don't just hate us. They hate the one that saved us by the grace of God. They hate our Savior. They hate our Lord. They hate our Master. Help us in a person. Help us in a promise. God said, I'm going to put enmity. In other words, they're going to hate one another. Amen. God said here, listen, he's going to bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. God said, listen, the promise is, anybody knows that a blow to the heel and a blow to the head is two different things. Amen. I'm telling you, we have the victory through our Lord Jesus because we don't just have the person. We don't just have the promise. But thank God we have the power to walk with God in these days because he's victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Oh, beloved, before Satan was cast from the sky, before Satan ever entered into the serpent, before sin ever entered on the scene, help was on the way. God had promised that help was on the way. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? God didn't look down in the Garden of Eden and say, whoops, what do we do now? Oh no, hallelujah. My friend, God's not looking down in my life, in your life, in our church, in our neighborhood, and saying, whoops, what do we do now? God is saying, help is on the way. Will somebody believe me? Will somebody take me at my word? Help is on the way. The Bible said over there in Galatians 4, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoptions of sons. Because your sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Thank God there's help for the sinner. There's help for the saints. Help is on the way, my friend, because there's a sin problem in the world. There's help from the curse. There's help at the cross. There's help that will cure. The Word of God teaches us that life is short. The Word of God teaches us that death is sure. The Word of God teaches us that sin is the cause. But thank God the Word of God teaches us that Christ is the cure. Christ is the only cure for sin. Let me give you just a couple of things and I'll quit this morning. I thought about this. There was a woman one day that went to get some water down at the well. And she had been married five times, and the man she was with was not her own husband. She had a sin problem. But the Word of God said a few verses prior to that, that Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria. Happy day. Jesus is going to go by the well, and he's going to have a conversation, and he said, if you knew who you were talking to him, you would ask him drinking. He'd give you a drink of living water. You know what that woman didn't know? She knew she had a sin problem. Somebody help me right there. We know we have a sin problem. We know the guilt. We know the shame. We know the weight that it puts on us. Amen. But oh, what she didn't know was there was a man over yonder that told his disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. You can say whatever you want to, but my friend, my God will go out of the way for one individual that needs help from their sin. Help was on the way. Help was on the way. She didn't know it. The disciples didn't know it. But thank God the Savior knew it. Amen. He knew that he could help her. I thought about this. I'm not going to turn and read all the scriptures. You could preach an hour in each one of these. But Jesus tells his disciples to get in the ship. He says, we're going to go to the other side. Jesus goes back there in the hinder part of the ship and he lays down and he goes to sleep. And there's a storm that arose in the middle of the night. A lot of people miss this, and a lot of times we miss things in the Bible because the way it's paragraphed. We take one paragraph and we forget to look before and after and see what's going on. But you know, Jesus said, we got to go to the other side. They didn't really believe they were going to make it to the other side. Sometimes you and I don't believe we're going to make it to the other side. We're out in the middle of some sea and it's stormy and it looks like the ship is taking on water. It looks like we're going to sink. But they went back and woke Jesus up. I tell you, listen to how their heart is. I can see this. Listen, sometime I'll preach on it. I can only find it two times in the Bible. But when somebody that knows Christ starts asking, don't you care? There's something wrong. And this time right here in the Bible, it's because of the storm. They said, Lord, carest not thou that we perish? And he steps out on the bow of the ship and says, peace be still. And the winds laid down and the waves laid down. I believe my friend a tadpole was afraid to jump. I believe it looked like a sea of glass. And God brought peace in the midst of the storm. But over yonder, in the country of the Gadarenes, there's a bed. Chains won't hold him. Boom. He cuts on himself. He's possessed of a demon. But what he didn't realize was, listen to me. He never realized this, but help was on the way. I tell you, when Jesus said, we're going to the other side, he already had his heart. He already had his mind on a man that had lived over there long enough. Amen. God wanted to, my friend, help him. He was naked among the tombs. People were afraid of him. God said, just let me visit with him a little while. Help is on the way. When it comes to the sin problem, help is on the way. And the Word of God said, Brother Ralph, when Jesus got done, them demons went out. They got in some hogs and went down to the sea, drowned themselves. Unusual for a hog to run downhill and into the water, but that's what they done. Brother, demons will cause you to do unusual things. Somebody help me right there. But I'm telling you, listen, our Lord, the Word of God said that those people that knew that maniac, they found him clothed. He had some clothes on. Amen. They found him sitting at the feet of Jesus, and they found him in his right mind. You say, preacher, how is that possible? I'll tell you how. Help was on the way. He couldn't help himself. Nobody else could help him. But thank God Jesus could help him. Amen. I'll tell you today, help is on the way. The Word of God said this man wanted to go with Jesus. He desired that he could go with him. He said, Lord, by the way, when he saved me, I wanted to go with him too. I just believe when people get saved, they want to go with him. They don't want to go against him. They don't want to go away from him. They want to go with him.
You meet anybody as wonderful as Jesus is, you'll want to go with him. You'll want to not just sing the song, but live the song. Where he leads me, I will follow. You'll want to go with him. Jesus said, no. He said, son, there's something more important for you to do. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, he made a great missionary, brother. He said, go home and tell thy friends how great things the Lord hath done for thee. I believe there's people that would listen to that man that probably wouldn't listen to Peter or John, but they would listen. That man could say, hey, I was over there among the tombs and I didn't know it, but help was on the way. I went to church one Sunday night after living for 30 days thinking that I had already messed up so royally that God would never deal with me again. I sat down that Sunday night and the choir sang like they always did. The announcements were made like they always were. The special was sung like it always was. But the pastor opened the Word of God. I couldn't tell you two words of what he preached. But I tell you, the Holy Ghost come and just sat down there with me. And I didn't know it that night. But when I was on my way to church, help was on the way to me. God was going to help me to be saved by the grace of God. The woman at the well, the man among the tombs. Let me give you this thought. Boys, I tell you, I can't help it. This is good stuff. Listen to this thought right here. The prodigal. God gave me a thought. Listen. Just think about this thought for this. I never thought about it before. The prodigal says, Daddy, give me what's mine. I'm leaving. I'm going to the far country. Now, I happen to believe that that father's a praying father. You say, preacher, why would you think he's a praying father? Because he's a looking father. He was looking for him. You know, sometimes we pray, but we don't look for an answer to our prayers. Help me. We need to believe help is on the way. And I believe this father believed that help was on the way. You say, preacher, I don't see the help. Well, he got down there and he ran out of money and he wanted to feed the swine And he realized that back home, the servants at his father's house had it better than what he had. And the Word of God said this. And he came to himself. Let me give you a statement God gave me this morning. He came to himself, but he did not come to himself by himself. Hallelujah. They ain't nobody ever come to themselves by themselves. When we come to ourselves, it's because he came to me when I could not come to where he was. Thank God Almighty he came to me. Help was on the way. Help came to the prodigal. He said, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to my father's house. I'm going to tell my father, I'm not even worthy. I'm going to tell you something right now. When you get that help from sin, your attitude changes. He said, I'm going to tell my father, I'm not even worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. God, he's saying, just give me a spot in a barn. That'll be fine with me. Just give me a spot in the barn. By the way, when a man gets saved or a woman gets saved, they're not negotiating anything. Say amen right there. They just want to be rescued from the fire. They want to be rescued from their sin. They want to have fellowship with a holy God. And they realize that the only way they can do that is if God would help them. I thought about the eunuch in the desert. You know, just think for a moment. He's been to Jerusalem. All over America this morning. By the way, this is the day, and I'm not going to preach against that religion this morning. I ain't got time. But there's going to be a million or more gather for a mass. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you something right now. A mass without a new birth is a mess. A religion without a relationship with Christ is a mess. There's a lot of people in this building that's experienced that. Religion ain't never saved nobody. It takes a relationship with the Holy God. It takes Jesus. It takes being born again. It takes the blood of Christ. There you got a man, he's been to Jerusalem to worship. He's a well-off, well-to-do man. He's in charge of the treasury for Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He's going down there to Jerusalem. He's returning now. He's going back home, going back to Ethiopia. He's sitting in his chariot and he's reading the book of Isaiah. What he didn't know was, Brother Ralph, help was on the way. I can't remember the name of the town now. Where was Philip? I can't remember. Brother Brian, where was Philip? Over yonder where the revival was. Where? No, I can't remember. But anyway, he was over there and there was a great revival. Wasn't Macedonia, was it? I can't remember. But anyway, listen. There was a great revival going on. And the word of God spoke to Philip's heart. And he told him, arise and go down to the south. Go down to the desert. You say, preacher, how come that eunuch got saved that day? How come that eunuch got baptized that day? I tell you how come. God had his eye on the eunuch. And God said, that eunuch needs some help. And God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to get some help on the way. Amen. And he spoke to Philip's heart. And my friend Philip obeyed the Lord, and Philip led him to Jesus. Hallelujah. Help is on the way. I thought about, I ain't got time to preach all this this morning. But anyway, I may not have any more time left at all, and you may not either. I thought about that one that thought he was doing God such a great service. That lines up with what's going on in the world today. Did you know, listen to me carefully. When they're cutting them Christians' head off, do you know that they think they're doing God a great service? That's what they think. Did you know that when Paul was on the road to Damascus to go get him another load of Christians, that he thought he was doing God a great service? But let me tell you something, what happened that day. Help was on the way. Brother and sister, Paul needed help. Paul wasn't seeing clearly. Paul was deceived. Paul thought he was on the right side when he was on the wrong side. Are you listening to me? You say, preacher, how did he get on the right side? He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He had in his mind what he wanted to do. He had in his mind where he was going. But I tell you, God had something else in his mind. And when it comes to the problem of sin, help is on the way. Aren't you glad this morning that we serve a Savior that can see better than we do, see farther than we do? Let me give you this illustration. I'm done. I'm going to quit. For 10 years, I spent much time in prison. And I would go from cell to sell. That was my favorite part of prison work. Y'all know I love to preach. I do. I don't like to preach. I love to preach. I feel sorry for a man that's called of God to preach and don't love what he's doing. Amen. I love to preach. But there was something I enjoyed. Oh, I enjoyed just going cell to cell. Just one-on-one. One-on-one. And I don't know how many times. Listen to me carefully and I will wrap this up. I don't know how many times when I was talking to a man, I would ask a man, I'd say, sir, is there anybody in your family that you know and you believe with all your heart they love Jesus and they love you and they're praying for you? They've tried to help you. They've tried to warn you. They tried to witness to you. I said, is there anybody in your family? Like, listen to me carefully. I can't remember a time when somebody said no. But listen to me carefully. This is what really spoke to my heart in 10 years. I would say, who is it? 9 out of 10 times, there was a generation missing. They wouldn't say it was my mama or my daddy. Most of those men grew up without a daddy. That's one of the problems in our country. But listen to me carefully. Most of them would say it's my grandmother. Or my grandfather. It was almost like there was a generation. How many knows that's the truth? There's a generation missing. And we're fixing to have 2 generations missing. If we don't have revival. if we don't get help. Now listen to me carefully. I'm going somewhere with this. It goes with the message. It fits. I would say to that individual, you reckon they're praying for you? And without fail, Brother Gale, they'd look at me and say, I know they are. I say, now look at me. They'd look at me. I say, you know what I am? They'd say, well, a preacher. I said, well, yeah, I'm a preacher. But really, right now, what I want to tell you is this. I'm just an answer to prayer. Somebody's back home. Begging the God of heaven to send that boy, send that girl. Send that mom, send that dad, send that brother, send that sister. Oh, God, send them some help. And God would put it on a man's heart to start a prison ministry. And missionary after missionary after missionary would surrender. And then you say, well, preacher, it's just coincidence that you ended up there. You can believe that if you want to. I just believe there's a God in heaven that says, hey, help is on the way. Amen. He wants to send help to everyone that has a sin problem. So I could phrase that like this. He wants to send help to everyone. Why? Because everyone has a sin problem. Everyone has a sin problem. Oh, you say, preacher, saved people don't have a sin problem. I wish that was true. I wish that was true. I really do. The Bible said if we say we're without sin, we're a liar and the truth's not in us. Amen. We make him a liar. Listen. We all have a sin problem, but help is on the way. Will we believe God, or will we just pray and go away? Listen, the prayer of faith is what gets the job done. Help is on the way. God said, Adam, you've messed up, and you've messed up royally. Eve, you've messed up, honey, and you've messed up royally. Old Slewfoot, you've messed up. You're going to crawl on your belly the rest of your days, Mr. Serpent. But God said, don't forget this in Genesis chapter 3. Help is on the way. You can say I'm foolish if you want to. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that believe the best days are gone. If we believe that, they probably are. But if we can believe that there's still a God in heaven that wants to help his people, and wants to help our community, then we can get out here and go visit and get out here and just believe God and just be an instrument in the hands of a holy God that God might send someone some help along the way. Help is on the way. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for the privilege to share the word of God. God, I know this morning, Lord, that there's many, many, many people in the world that need help. God, it's my prayer that we would understand this morning, Lord, that regardless of the situation, regardless of the sin problem, you are a very present help. Lord, when I say help is on the way, I really mean you are on the way. You're going to come by. You're going to help. And God, I praise you this morning that I can not just know that and believe that, but I can live my life knowing, God, that it's not in vain. I pray, Father, this morning for that one that, Lord, is experiencing the heavy hand of that comes from sin. How I pray this morning, Lord, that they would understand their need of Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning that they would understand their need of a new birth, they would understand that help, God's help, is on the way.